Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... You know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Very excited about our good buddy David Dossie being back on the show. David is our intellectual property attorney. He is, they used to call him patent attorneys. I guess they kind of still do, but now the correct term, the more correct term, more accurate term, the more comprehensive term is intellectual property, because there's so much more to so many more assets out there, virtual and intellectual assets out there now than patents. And my company is a perfect example of that. I don't have any patents, but I've got a lot of intellectual property, and you probably do too. And David is here to help us with that. David Dossie, welcome back.
Yeah, Jim, it's always an honor. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back as always, and thanks for the 12 great years you've given us so far. Okay, so you have a position that that sometimes the fanciest products aren't always the best.
That's right. You know, usually we talk about strategies to recognize and protect your own intellectual property. But, however, after seeing so many small businesses struggle to create, like, the most advanced product mm-hmm. in a segment, but then fail to turn a profit, I thought it might be valuable to discuss that a small business often has to recognize that the best or most advanced product or service does not equate to having the most profitable small business.
So they're going for the wow product, and what they wind up with is, wow, I'm out of money.
Exactly. And so unfortunately, that happens common.
Yeah. So what do you do about it?
Well, I think part of it is recognizing that often a small business shouldn't be chasing the cutting edge. And sometimes...
I call it the bleeding. What I say is, it's okay to be near the leading edge, but the closer you get to the leading edge, is where you're closer to the bleeding edge.
That's right. That's right. And oftentimes products with you want to be advanced, so you throw everything in the world at it, and often too many bells and whistles actually just makes the product harder and more inconvenient rather than a true asset to the mm-hmm. the product.
So you're saying use the KISS method, keep it simple, stupid?
Well, I think that there's a time for technology, and then there's a time that I think a lot of small business owners, the ones that I have seen build the most wealth, are often the guys that recognize that, hey, I've got a loyal customer base here, and mm-hmm. if I'm out installing, let's say, TV sets or flat screens and audio systems, and I know that a big portion of my bill to the client is products that I'm buying for mounting rackets or racks and such. If I do those myself, if I build those or have a local machine shop build products that then I can sell to my existing customer mm-hmm. base, that all of a sudden my, $500 bill that was $250 of expenses, now I'm getting a piece of that $250
right.
of expenses as well.
Right. So you're saying that now, of course, you have to be careful, right? That you're not infringing if you're producing something somebody else produces.
Right. Right. I call it the house brand mentality. You know, when you go into the grocery store today, you see that, let's say, Kroger has their own line of salad dressings right beside the
right.
name brand salad
right.
dressings. Well, that's exactly what small business owners should be thinking of. Get in that mindset, because oftentimes you can improve the profit by doing a little bit more yourself, taking yourself out of that comfort zone. And that's what, the Lowe's, the Home Depot's, the grocery stores of the world have all seemed to have recognized.
I know a number of companies have done that. and they've got little fabric. They've had created little fabricating units in their company to produce a product. And the thing is it's more customized for the customer than the product that they were buying off the shelf for the customer.
Right.
And they sell it to the customer as customized, and the customer really likes that. They like customization, don't they?
And oftentimes customization for a customer may involve not having the 20 features like the thermostat that communicates with your cell phone.
The Internet of Things thermostat. So and the thing is, that then it becomes your intellectual property, right?
That's right.
Your idea becomes your intellectual property. We're going to talk about some more stuff. We got some more intellectual property issues and discussions and conversation with our good friend David Dossie after these messages. After these messages, 20 till. I'm Jim Blassing. Gabe, stay with me.
Does anybody really know what time it is? Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.